The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
The following podcast is parody. It was created by two fans of Star Trek Voyager who happen to have audio experience. So forgive the excellent quality of this show. It is a labor of love and not an official Star Trek work.
Here's what happened on Voyager Season 1, Episodes 1 and 2. AKA The Pilot.
We're alone. In an uncharted part of the galaxy. We've already made some friends here. And some enemies. We have no idea of the dangers we're going to face. But one thing is clear. Both crews are going to have to work together if we're to survive. That's why Commander Chakotay and I have agreed that this should be one crew. A Starfleet crew. And as the only Starfleet vessel assigned to the Delta Quadrant, we'll continue to follow our directive to seek out new worlds and explore space. But our primary goal is clear. Even at maximum speeds, it would take 75 years to reach the Federation. But I'm not willing to settle for that. There's another entity like the Caretaker out there somewhere who has the ability to get us there a lot faster. We'll be looking for her. And we'll be looking for wormholes, spatial rifts, or new technologies to help us. Somewhere along this journey, we'll find a way back. Mr. Paris, set a course for home.
Aye, Captain.
Where's the holodeck? I've never been down here before. Oh, there it is. There it is. Okay. Wow, that's a really big holodeck. This is the most beautiful facility I've ever seen. I can't believe I've never been here. Well, now I'm going to have a lot of time to spend. Ugh. Until we get home.
Computer.
Yes, Captain.
Activate the PP.
Podcasting program now activated.
Oh no, I'm gonna need a producer. Computer, who on board has podcasting experience?
Ensign Brett, in engineering.
Reporting for podcasting duty?
Engineer Breb.
Yeah, that's me.
I need your assistance. I know it's late, but I'm bored, and I don't sleep. Because we're marooned in space because of all the stuff that I did, I would like to start a podcast to talk about my feelings. Can you help me make this show, Engineer Breb?
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, wow, this is like a really authentic podcasting studio from 21st century Earth. This is amazing.
You sound like you know what you're talking about, Engineer Breb.
In Starfleet Academy, my concentration was in media studies, and we went a lot into the podcasting renaissance of Earth's 21st century, not to mention the Vulcan folk radio explosion of 2277.
Wow, that's a lot of information, Engineer Breb. Let me ask you this. You appear to be a Lurian?
That's right, I'm a Lurian.
I met a Lurian on Deep Space Nine. I wonder if you know him. His name is Morn.
Oh yeah, that's my cousin. I got to see him before we took off for the Badlands.
Oh, that's great. That's fantastic.
But me and Morn were about the same age, and you know, he's part of the royal family of Luria, so we don't really get a lot of FaceTime, but it was really great to see him.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Has the show started already? I did press record already because I don't know if you like, you know, the banter up top.
Oh, that's a great idea. Yes. Unless it's not fun, then you'll edit this down?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I love it.
Wonderful. How do I sound? Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yeah, you're looking good.
But how do I sound?
Oh, I was speaking about the waveforms. Yeah, you sound great.
Okay, great. Hello, universe. My name is Captain Janeway of the USS Voyager. Unfortunately, we are stuck in the Delta Quadrant, which is 70,000 light years away from our home, which is Earth for some, but not for everybody on my ship. But I don't want to go into that. Regardless, I just need something to pass the time. So I figured why not start a podcast, which is one of my 21st century hobbies. I also like to paint, but, you know, I'm not very good. This is my holodeck studio that me and Breb are in. I'll describe it since this is audio. It looks like a one-bedroom apartment in Los Angeles, California, United States, America. There's dampeners, half a glass of water. It's 21st century postmodern, so it has a lot of IKEA.
Yeah, a lot of flat pack furniture.
Very wasteful furniture.
Yeah, and lots of really small computers.
Yes, much smaller than we have on this ship. You know, it's very interesting. A lot of the old technology was superior to our current technology, but it got lost in one of the wars. I don't care to remember. but that, I think that's enough, Breb, right?
Yeah, totally.
Okay, how's your day, Breb? The podcast begins.
Oh, it's been pretty good. I mean, besides getting lost in the Delta Quadrant.
I am so sorry about that. And I want to apologize to each and every crew member individually that I have on this ship that I've trapped in the Delta Quadrant because I refused to not interfere in the balance of the system, which is kind of a quirk of mine. as you'll get to know.
Permission to podcast freely, Captain?
Permission granted, Brib.
You think you might have violated the Prime Directive a little bit?
But did I, though?
I mean, I know you're trying to do what the caretaker wanted to, protect the Ocampa and prevent the Kazon from getting their hands on, technology that can summon ships from 70,000 light years away. And I totally respect you and stuff, but do you still think it was a good idea?
Was it a good idea, Breb? How should I know? I'm just the captain. You know, we didn't ask to be brought here, but we were. So the Prime Directive was violated by a higher being. And from there, it's just, what do you do?
You know what? You can't unbreak the egg in this situation. So we'll just go with it. No big deal. We'll work with it. We'll get home when we get home, right?
I don't know.
Maintenance recommended. Podcast break in 3, 2, 1.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
So, Captain, can you tell us how we got here? I was a Maquis engineer, so I really don't know the whole story. Do you want to tell me what was going on with you guys or...
Absolutely, Brett. I'd be happy to. So, unhappy with the new treaty, Federation colonists along the Cardassian border have banded together, calling themselves the Maquis. Like you.
Yeah.
And they continue to fight the Cardassians. Some consider them heroes. I'm sure you did.
Oh, totally.
But to the governments of the Federation and Cardassia, they're outlaws.
Unfair.
But I work for the Federation, so I have to infiltrate the Maquis. And Lieutenant Tuvok, a valued member of my crew, he goes undercover as Maquis. And then the ship disappears. Into the Badlands they go. And then they're never seen or heard from again. So I go to New Zealand, the only country-sized prison in the world, to find...
Wait, the entire island of New Zealand is a... penal colony?
Yes, it's a penal colony. It used to be a beautiful, thriving nation, but then after World War III, I guess, four, it blew up, cleared everything out, all the mountains, all the terrain, and so it just became a flat little island.
Whoa, that's such a shame. That sounds beautiful.
Yeah, it happens. So I head over to New Zealand, like you do. To find this kid, Tom Paris, because I used to work with his father, who used to be my boss, coincidentally. He's an admiral now. And so Tom Paris, he's an outlaw, but he had been embedded with the Maquis until he was in prison. So, okay. I figure, who better to help us locate the missing Maquis ship and its crew than Tom Paris? And he says yes, but he's a creep, immediately a creep. He's just all over my most attractive crewman. And by the way, she did file a complaint. And I would have sent it up the chain of command if we weren't stuck here. But I probably shouldn't tell him that at this point, right?
Right. Yeah, I agree.
Anyway, his father was also a creep when I served with him on the Albatani.
What was so creepy about Admiral Paris?
He wasn't at all like my daddy.
Okay. If that's an Earth thing, then yeah, okay.
It's not that it's an Earth thing, Breb. It's a me thing, you know? I only like men who are like my daddy. Otherwise, they're a creep because my daddy was the best.
Oh, okay, cool.
Well, I mean, I have a boyfriend, too. Oh, Mark Johnson. Oh, Mark. Oh, he's wonderful. He does everything I ask him to. Everything. And mostly I just need him to leave me alone and pick up my dog from the kennel.
I didn't know you had a boyfriend.
Yes. I do. His name is Mark.
Where'd you guys meet?
Mark. And I met through a friend. Whom I do not speak to anymore. Because she turned out to be a ladder climber, which, you know, all respect. But she did it in a very nefarious way. I did it with, you know, grit and determination.
Sure, but isn't your dad also a Starfleet admiral?
And what's your point, Breb?
I mean, just...
I'm a complete Nepo baby. So she felt very insecure about that. And so she had to make up for it. And the way she did it was just a little uncouth, you know? She tried to befriend me, be best friends with me so that she could use my father, my daddy, to help her career. And I just think that's not cool.
All right. But you and Mark are pretty tight.
Yes. I think he's going to ask me to marry him very, very soon. And we're going to have 10 babies.
Wow.
I already picked out all of their names.
Is that how many babies humans have in a litter?
Sometimes. Sometimes they do now. Yes.
Wow.
You have to sign up for that. Like, it's not a natural process. Usually it's one or two, sometimes three. But, you know, I'm getting a little long in the tooth. So, yeah, I should do the 10 all at once thing. Because I'll tell you what my dream is. It's just to have a giant ranch full of children just running around. All of them exactly the same height.
That sounds really nice.
Thank you, Breb.
Speaking of having babies, I heard a rumor that your dog had some puppies.
I don't know how you would have heard that, but that's a little off. She's going to have puppies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in fact, that was the last conversation I had with my dear Mark. Oh, Mark. But yeah, she's going to have a litter. Isn't that amazing? Ugh, I relate to that dog so hard.
Oh, well, I mean...
Because I'm a Breb. Bleep that, Breb.
Oh, yeah, okay. I can do that.
That's not language befitting a captain, Breb. But this is my personal time.
That's like an Earth statement of like prowess and superiority and toughness, like, right?
I don't like where this is going, Breb.
Oops, sorry, Captain.
Conversation winding down. Initiating a break in the podcast program.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So, Captain... This is your first episode of your podcast, and...
By the way, what do you think of the name Janeway's Podcast Program? I have to come up with all of the artwork soon, so I need a name ASAP.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Yeah, we'll make it the title of the RSS feed.
Oh, wonderful. You could set that up, of course.
Oh, yeah.
That's amazing. Do you do graphics?
I know a guy that he can tell the computer to make a couple of graphics by saying stuff out loud and the computer makes the graphics. Does that work?
Wonderful. That's perfect. Thank you, Breb. Anyway, what were you saying?
I just wanted to, you know, have you give some first impressions of the crew members. Tell us what you think of some of the folks who are serving on the ship.
Okay, that's fair. Just between you and me and the mic. So there's Ensign Harry Kim. He screams a lot. Definitely a mommy's boy, which, you know, I'm a daddy's girl, but I'm also a mommy type. So I feel like he's going to cling to me a little bit.
How do you know that?
Well, it's that she called me.
His mom called you? Oh, that's awkward.
Yeah, before we took off, she called me and said he forgot his clarinet.
Wow, that's...
Yeah, and then she just started telling me all these details that I didn't need to know, like that he has contact dermatitis and that he turned down a spot at Juilliard. And I'm just like, I don't need to know either of these things, lady.
Yeah, he's a young officer and, you know, it's his first assignment. She sounds kind of like a hovercraft parent.
Absolutely.
And what did you think of Tom Paris?
Oh, a creep.
Oh, yeah, you said that.
Yeah, but he's cute.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he's cute. He's got one of those necks, you know, that I'm into, but I shouldn't say such things about my crew, except, I mean, I do hope we get home soon, but if we don't, is the captain allowed to take a husband?
That's a little above my pay grade.
That's fair. That's fair.
I
just think he has a cute neck.
Sure. As a Lurian, I don't really get it. I guess I could see how attractive that might be.
Do your females have necks?
Yeah, we don't have necks as such. For example, I can't turn my head left to right like you can.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sure you have other abilities that I couldn't possibly dream of.
Yeah, no, I make up for it in other ways.
I'm sure you do, Breb. By the way, every Lurian I've ever met has been the most charming individual.
Yeah, well, thank you very much.
See, it's already happening, this rapport.
I don't think we said this yet, but there is a contingent of Maquis on the ship now.
Yes.
And I used to be one, and my former captain, Chakotay,
is now my first officer.
Yeah, yeah. So, what do you think of old Skip?
Is that his nickname?
It's one I'm trying to start.
Oh, interesting. Huh, Chakotay. I don't know much about him. He seems like a man of mystery. I tried to figure him out in the mess hall, what his vibe was. I don't know.
I would say give him a chance. He's an intense guy. So when the Maquis ship that I was on got blown out of the Badlands, which is why we went missing... By the way, listeners, our ship just didn't go missing. It got abducted as well by the caretaker and sent all across the galaxy. Well, we lost a couple of fine crew members, and there's a couple of people on your ship we also lost.
R.I.P. Lieutenant Stadi, Betazoid. She was like a daughter to me, Breb. I taught her how to do her hair.
Oh, I'm really sorry to hear that.
You have to look like a leader, Breb. And she looked like a leader with that top bun, and then she immediately died.
Such a shame. And your doctor also died.
Doctor Human Doctor.
Yes, yeah, yeah, doctor, yeah.
A genius. A credit to his kind.
How long did you know him for?
A while, actually. I dated him once.
This is before Mark?
At the Academy, yes. Oh, way before Mark.
Wow.
But yeah, Dr. Human Doctor.
Your chief of engineering also, do you remember the name of your chief engineer?
Oh, gosh. It's right there. Think, Catherine. Think, chief of engineering who died. We just shot him into space like 2 hours ago. I already forgot what I said at his funeral.
I want to say it was something like Breb. No, wait, Breb's my name. Brom? Was it Brom?
I don't know. So Cabot also died.
Yeah, no, that's a shame. He was a silver fox.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, he was a handsome guy.
Okay. Not my type, clearly.
Sure.
What do you think of Baylana?
Love Baylana. I just love her energy. I just love her soul. You know, I love her spirit. Like, when you're fighting in the space trenches against the Cardassians,
yeah,
that's who you want by your side. That's who you want holding a phaser rifle.
That's good to hear. Yeah, because, I mean, first impressions, not always the best, but...
You're going to want to give her, like, 2 or 3 years, but...
2 or 3 years?
Yeah, yeah. No, it takes a while for that icy exterior to melt. But give it some time, and she's going to be right there by your side.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's my crew compliment? Like 150?
Yeah, something like that.
I can't go through every single person.
Yeah, on this podcast. You're right. Yeah, we'll be here all day.
Yeah. Warning. Conversation destabilizing. Initiating emergency break in podcast.
So, space madness, huh?
Space madness is real.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta watch out for it.
I'm already feeling it, Breb, and it's been like half a week.
It's been a week, yeah.
Yeah. 75 years to go, minus a week. Can you believe? I mean, everything that's happened since we've been marooned here, it's just insane. Insane. First of all, caretaker. What's his deal? Just a blob god. As if I didn't have enough to worry about, right?
He was a blob? I thought he was a human that played the banjo.
No, you missed a whole... No. He was an omniscient, all-powerful being. But then he was dying.
Uh-huh.
And he ended up as a blob. Like, that's how he died, I guess. Or he was always a blob, and then he couldn't hold the human form. I mean, I guess that's just how he interfaced with us, which is a little rude. I mean, he could have looked like any humanoid from the Alpha Quadrant, but he chose human form, Earth human form. Well, whatever. I'm not going to fight it. It's over. But yeah, we were wished into a cornfield. Oh, yeah. And there were snacks. There was music. So eerie.
I thought that corn on the cob that they offered us, it looked a little sus.
Don't get me started, Brett. Yeah. On the corn on the cob.
Yeah. I don't think they cooked it.
I've never even heard of a welcoming bee. Have you?
No, I have never heard of a welcoming bee.
Apparently, it's an Earth custom. You're the media studies guy.
Yeah, that sounds more like an anthropological thing. And my background is primarily in television, film, video games, holo novels and programs, stuff like that.
Oh, I'll hit you up for a holo novel. I'm going to need some new entertainment soon.
Oh, I got one I think you might like, actually.
Okay, great.
Yeah. You'll be the governess.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I love that, Breb.
Yeah.
The governess. Is that a good name for my podcast, The Governess?
No, I like Janeway's podcast program.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about Captain's Log?
I think the computer might confuse it for your actual log.
That's fair. And if we ever get back for the records, this will be,
yeah, you don't
be terrible if this was confused with my official log.
Yeah. For the computer to find it, I think, you know, for the search engine optimization, I think we should call it Janeway's podcast program.
Right. For posterity at Starfleet.
Exactly.
Podcast break initiated.
So, yeah, we were whisked into a cornfield and then found Maquis in a barn. Belana was there. Chakotay was there. That was the first time I ever saw them, right?
Yeah.
They got probed. We got probed.
Yeah, we got probed. The needle went right in my chest.
Do you have a chest cavity below your non-neck? Like, what's going on down there?
The needle punctured one of my stomachs.
Oh, no. Does that heal?
I'm fine now, but didn't feel great. How about you?
Oh, it felt terrible. But I guess they sewed us up before they sent us back because I would have expected a large puncture wound in my chest. You know, it's solid bone. It's solid bone in there.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, for humans, it's solid bone. It hurt. Ouchies, you know. But I took it like a champ. But speaking of Harry the mommy boy, I've never heard a scream so shrill.
Yeah, he really screamed. It woke me up and I was out, you know.
On the other side of the barn?
Yeah, I was on the other side of the barn and I'd already been probed for like a few days and that woke me up like a little bit. But I went right back out though, but yeah.
And then Harry disappeared. He and Belana, they didn't make it back to the ship. And then, you know, we made contact with the Valjean, your ship, the Maquis ship, because that was, oh gosh, that whole exchange was a tinderbox, right? You had Tuvok revealing he's an undercover agent. You've got Paris revealing he's even there. Chakotay could have killed them both with his bare hands. Am I saying his name right?
I think it's Chakotay.
I'll never remember. Anyway, I respected his restraint, even though I had to talk him down.
Yeah, so you had a Vulcan infiltrate our ship, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, total surprise, right?
Yeah.
Because I'd always been told by Vulcans that they don't lie.
That's wild. No, they lie about not lying.
That's crazy.
Yeah, they lie all the time.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, I've never won a game of space poker against a Vulcan or baseball. Not that the second one requires lying. They just lie about not knowing how to play.
There's a little bit of subterfuge in the game of Earth baseball.
I mean, sure, but look, the Romulans lie, and they're supposed to be like distant cousins or something, so...
But yeah, you'd expect that from the Romulans because...
Well, the Romulans are more honest in this situation than the Vulcans because at least they're honest about their feelings.
Isn't that crazy?
I mean, I don't know how much you know about Earth history, but the Vulcans were not really straight with us, you know, the human race.
Yeah, that's real messed up.
Yeah, they kind of kept us from taking over space for a while, which is fair. We had to earn it. You know, we had to wait a while, but we didn't know that. So there was a little bit of tension, and I think a lot of people still feel that tension to this day. I mean, even as of 100 years ago, for sure. But Tuvok is my closest confidant, but you know.
Yep.
Also, he'll tell you, if you ask him, he's very old. He doesn't look it, but he's faced a lot of discrimination in his day. You ever hear of Captain Sulu?
Hikaru Sulu? Yeah.
Let's just say he was a very old-timey guy when it came to his opinions on Vulcans.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's a shame.
I'm sure he'd apologize today, but...
I'm just saying, with my interactions with Tuvok, like, sure, I'm a little miffed that he was an undercover spy, but
think
like,
about what he's been through.
No,
you know, he's quit.
Of course.
He's quit being Starfleet at least a couple of times.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow. So I got more in common with Tuvok than I thought.
Oh, really?
Well,
oh, because of the Maquis.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. I thought you meant maybe you were part Vulcan or something.
No. I mean, with these ears, no. These little tiny little Lurian ears.
But so he fooled you, huh?
Yeah, no, totally had me fooled.
Don't you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. And I'll bleep that out for you, but yeah, total surprise. I was completely floored. Well done. That's why you're in the big chair.
That's right. Thank you.
Real spicy moment, though.
Yeah, yeah. And then we convinced the Maquis to join so we could save Harry and Belana Torres.
Is this when you met the furry guy?
Mr. Neelix?
Yeah, is that his name?
He says it's his name.
Okay.
I don't know. I have no way of verifying such information in the Delta Quadrant. It could be a name he gave himself. He seems like a very eccentric fella.
Yeah, totally. A real loud dresser.
Interesting taste in women.
Yeah. So that, yeah. Because we learned that the Ocampa lived to like 9, which is kind of like how long, what? Like most Earth dogs live longer than that. And she's 2 years old.
Yeah, she's 2 years old.
I don't know. I don't know if it's just my bias as a Lurian because...
Well, how long do Lurians live?
Oh, anywhere from like 100 to 200 years.
Wow.
Yeah, it really does depend.
When would you start a relationship as a Lurian?
On the younger side, 35.
Yeah, that sounds right for 200 years. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, Kes is like 2 years old and...
I can't even.
I can't.
I'm not going to touch that with a 10-foot pole, Brett.
Yeah, no way.
I'm not gonna.
No way.
But we'll see. I mean, I need a guide. He's a guide.
All right.
She seems smart enough for a 2-year-old. I've never met a toddler with a voice that sultry. You know what I mean?
Yeah, she's got a deep voice.
I think it's lovely. I think she's lovely.
Oh,
she seems very intelligent.
She seems very lovely. Yeah.
But yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, no, she's lovely. She seems nice.
Yeah, she seems great. Anyway, so Mr. Neelix, he had this little salvage ship, you know, and he thought we were going to steal his garbage hilariously. And then we realized that water was precious to him and everyone on the planet, where we suspected Harry Kim and Belana Torres to be held prisoner. So we went down there with a bunch of tanks or jugs or whatever you want to call them. And the thing we didn't realize yet at that point was that Mr. Neelix was trying to save...
His 2-year-old girlfriend, yeah.
Kes, yes. Yeah. And, you know, I like saving people, so it was fun. And she led us down into the depths of the planet where the Ocampa, her people, were taking care of Harry and Belana.
So I didn't get to go down to the surface.
You didn't miss much, Breb.
So What was it like in the underground city of the Ocampa?
Nothing special. They had escalators.
Okay.
Okay, so where was I? The planet had lost all of its resources because the caretaker's people, the other gods, whatever you want to call them, they made a mistake a long time ago. And he stayed behind to take care of the Ocampa because they ruined their planet. So he gave them water, gave them food. But, you know, he was dying by the time we met him. And he felt guilty that they were going to die without his help. And I guess the rest of his people were too far away to contact. And he was trying to, I don't know, gosh, I don't even want to think about it. But I guess he was trying to impregnate us with his DNA. And he had to find a compatible match. And so that's why he kept kidnapping creatures from other galaxies, us included.
Oh, that's like totally weird and problematic.
It's so problematic. I don't want to say I'm glad he's dead because that doesn't help anybody, right?
But I mean, it's still like, that sounds like this guy's a real like shoot first, ask questions later sort of blob.
Absolutely. I mean, pragmatism is not always the most moral thing to do.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. And getting out of there, like while the caretaker was dying, that seemed pretty crazy.
Oh, yeah. And before that, I even sat down with him. I had a whole speech. I gave him a speech, Brett, about the patriarchy. And it seemed like he'd be receptive, but he didn't understand that the Ocampa could take care of themselves. So he was more concerned that the Kazon, which were these people that I haven't really talked about on the pod yet because they suck.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll ever see those guys again, honestly.
I hope we don't because these mushroom-headed people.
Yeah, they have like weird mushroom hair.
They have weird mushroom hair and they're real dumb. And I don't know how to say it. I don't want to be elitist, but they had nothing interesting to say. They bored me to tears. They were mean. They were brutish. They claimed they just wanted water like hell, Breb. They wanted power. And I could see right through them, Breb.
I think that will be fine. I mean, you ended up destroying the caretaker array.
Yeah, I was going to get there. I guess the one thing I share with the caretaker was his disdain of the Kazon.
Right, yeah.
Whom I hope to never see again.
You won't.
I will never.
It's never going to come back up.
As long as I live. Gaze upon the Kazon.
Yeah, I think we're good.
Anyway, I chose to save the Ocampa and destroy the array. Otherwise, these Kazon would have that powerful technology from the caretakers. So, yeah, now we're stuck here because the array is how we got here and we don't know how to get back, but I tell you what, Brett, and I mean it. We will find a way.
Yeah, totally.
Mark my words, Brett.
Yeah, I'm going to put a marker in the timeline right now to mark your words.
We will find this other caretaker that I did not mention yet. We will find wormholes. We will find rifts in space-time. We will find weapons. We will find knives. We will cut through space with our bare hands, Breb, and we will fly through those holes, Breb.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
That's right, Breb. And with intent at 20 years instead of 75 or longer, we will be right back home, Breb. Unaffected by this whole experience.
Yeah, of course.
I promise you, Breb, we will learn nothing. We will gain nothing. We will forget it ever happened.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how okay we'll be, Breb. We will block this out of our minds.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know why I said that.
Okay, well, I can edit it out.
Unless it sounds good.
I'll take a another pass at it.
Podcast break initiated.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.
So, There's this weird thing I want to ask you about. I heard Harry Kim talking about how he had like some weird incurable disease. Him and Baylana, they were told it was incurable. Everybody else who had it died. And then one of the Ocampa gave them tree moss and it was instantly gone.
Yes, yes. Before we rescued them, that happened.
So what was up with that?
I don't know. You tell me, Breb.
It just seems like a weird thing for them to figure out, especially if so many people died. Like, why weren't they, like, and why send
them? I understand it happened. I just don't have an answer for you, Breb. Clearly somebody knew something somebody else before didn't know.
And why was the caretaker doing this?
Well, the caretaker tried to implant his DNA in Harry and Baylana. They had a weird reaction. And then he never told the doctors what to do in that case. But somebody apparently knew what to do. And that happens often in medicine, I feel like. So I don't know.
Doctors don't talk to each other?
Not always. Some doctors know things that other doctors do not. And some non-doctors know things that doctors do not, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, totally.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I mean, I'm sure your grandmother has a pie recipe that could cure something.
Yeah, case of the blues.
That's lovely, Brett. That's so lovely. I love that. That really made my day, that line that you just said.
Oh, well, I'm going to put the pie recipe in the replicator as soon as I get a chance.
Can you also add it to the show notes?
Yeah, totally. It'll go right in the show notes.
I mean, if there's a pie recipe that can cure the blues, Brett, I want it in my podcast show notes.
Yeah, totally. You got it, Captain.
Thank you so much, Brett.
Warning, one more podcast break is advised to stabilize program. And now for the thrilling conclusion of the Janeway podcast program.
Did I tell you that we put the caretaker's goo in a jar and stored it away?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we just put it in a jar and took it with us. I can't believe we did that.
Well, why did you do that?
Maybe it'll come in handy.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, for science, right?
Absolutely for science. But maybe also it'll come in handy. Maybe we trade it. Maybe we dissect it. Maybe his girlfriend wants it. I don't know.
The caretaker has a girlfriend?
He mentioned somebody, and I think I mentioned them earlier.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that reminds me of Mark. Oh, Mark. Oh, the puppies. Oh.
You miss him, I guess.
Sometimes.
So what's going to happen with the crew going forward?
I don't know. I'm just giving people jobs. I made Tom Paris a lieutenant.
Yeah. So he's like a real crew member now.
Yeah. And Chakotay is my first officer.
Yeah. And then the rest of the Maquis, like us, we're also...
I mean, you guys are all crew. I mean, you're an engineer now. Congratulations.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's pretty good.
You're an ensign. I didn't promote you, but you're part of the crew.
Yeah, no, sure. Yeah, I get
it. You get to engineer.
Yeah, totally. I get it. I love pitching in, you know, so it's nice to be kind of back in the whole Starfleet grind, you know? And like a lot of other people may not admit this, the other former Starfleet people who became Maquis, you know, I think they all totally dig it. Huh. At least I am totally on board. Like, I love the structure, which we didn't really get in the Maquis.
Oh,
I love the hierarchy of things. I love knowing my place in the system.
Me too.
I know I love knowing the crew and stuff like that. So I'm totally down for it.
I love that for you.
Well, sure. I mean, Voyager's a great ship. It's a great looking ship.
Oh, this is somewhat related, but I now have a butler because Mr. Neelix said he wanted to be my butler.
He said he wanted to be your butler.
Not exactly that, but basically that.
You're saying he'd take care of the wine cellar and manage the kitchen staff or something?
The second one. We don't need a wine cellar out here in the Delta Quadrant. That's a very Picard thing, by the way, and I don't know if you know what that means, but...
Oh, sure I do.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I went to Starfleet Academy, and it's Picard this, Picard that, Picard met this god, Picard met that god, Picard became a Borg, and then stopped being a Borg, and then he...
Oh, I don't even want to talk about that. That's terrible.
I mean, that's crazy.
I'm grateful that there are no Borg out here.
Yeah, totally. At least there's no Borg out here. God, that'd be awful.
It's going to be a long trip, Reb. A long, 7.5-decade trip.
Yeah, yeah.
Podcast may be too depressing.
Well, thank you for joining me, Breb.
Yeah, anytime. Is there any housekeeping? Or I guess this is the first episode, so probably not.
Yeah, I guess let's do credits. I see you wrote some out. The Janeway podcast program is hosted by me, Captain Janeway of the USS Voyager. This podcast is produced by Ensign Engineer Breb. That's it. Those are the credits. I should have guests, right?
I mean, totally. That's a thing that podcasts did, so.
Computer, book guests for my podcast program.
Now sending booking request messages to the entire crew.
Did you want, holographic representations of people who would appear on podcasts in the 21st century?
Not necessarily. Maybe. Maybe some funny people.
Yeah.
Some jokey, lighthearted people, but also maybe some experts in space.
Sure.
But I meant more like, you know, I don't know, Leonardo da Vinci.
Cool. Yeah. Who's he? Is he a comedian?
No. He's a painter from the 16th century. I admire his work. A genius.
Got it.
A genius, Brett.
Yeah, got it.
Just like me.
All right. I'm going to press stop on the recording and yeah.
Great job, Reb. Great job.
Yeah, great work. Great work, Cap.
I know.